It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome. You already know what day it is. It is hump day.
Yeah.
And you are with Dr. Tanji, her co-host, our co-host Niles and KJ. I'm flubbing here because I'm so excited about the day. Forgive me. I know better. I really do. This show was truly designed with you in mind. It's a kingdom principled show, and we literally help you move from where you are to where you want to be. And I've already kind of introduced them, and I'll do it again. I don't want to do a show without them. Hey, Kate, Niles, and KJ, how are you this day?
Hey, happy hump day. How you guys doing?
Yeah. Wonderful. I'm like, did they hear me?
Yes, it's good to see everybody.
On the show today, we've got a troop, as it were, of wonderful, talented, spirited beings that's going to join us a little early today because there's so much to talk about. And I'll let you in on a little secret. This guy's been here before, man. It's none other than, you'll see in a few minutes. But I wanted to finish up with what we were dialoguing about on last week, guys, and it was so really near and dear to my heart. This soul series is not just being done because I want to kind of take up space. We're always saying, be purposefully busy, mm-hmm. Get in your purpose, plan and prepare. And that's wonderful. And that's how we live our lives, right? But what about that soulish man? What about that man that's here that nobody really gets to see, but he's always with you in everything you say, everything you do, everything you listen to? Our senses, our soul takes in our senses and it directs us on how we're going to live. I kid you not. A lot of people think it's the spirit. See, the spirit is already called for. It's his. When we take our last breath, that spirit goes back to where it came from. But the soul is the one that is either going to live its days in paradise or purgatory. And I'm not making light of this because I could really talk a lot about the soul, but I want you to just be keenly aware that your soul, right, your will, your mind, and your emotions is your life force. It is. And we're dealing with the emotions on this particular stretch of dialoguing. When you are
All right. So we're talking.
All right.
Soul of man. So for me, like when I think of the soul of man, I think of like the core of, you know, the human being. That's, you know, like the nucleus. That's a part of your identity, but that's given to us by God. And, you know, that soul is what people see. That soul is what illuminates our eyes, or the light, you know, especially if we're centered and connected with God. So therefore, that should tell you how important it is to filter your soul, to make sure that you nourish your soul, because you realize that the soul is the life of man. What do you think, KJ?
I think you got to watch everything you put into your body, physically and spiritually.
Yes.
You know, because that's what makes up who you are. If you're putting in junk, you're going to get junk.
Yes.
You know, if you're putting in positive affirmations and positive positivity, then you're going to receive positivity. You know, is it hard? Yes, it requires discipline. 100%. You know, there are times when you feel low, but there are times when you do feel high, and you just got to keep pushing and moving forward from there.
For sure. And like, I'm listening to you say, you know, there's times where things are just ups and downs. And that reminds me of what we talked about last week and also the week before when we talk about the emotion. Mm-hmm. The emotions go up and down, all over the place, which is why we shouldn't feed into them each and every time. Now, the emotions have their place, but I always say you need to couple the emotions with logic and reason and so on in order to make a reasonable decision and a reasonable, you know, move in order to get to the next place, you know, get to the other side. So, and that's something that we want to, you know, let you guys know once again that, yes, your emotions have a place, but do not let all of your actions come from the emotions, because what you feel now may not be what you feel in an hour or the next day and so on. So we have to be responsible with our emotions and how we make our decisions. And, you know, if you are feeling, you know, a particular emotion, it's okay to sit there and analyze it. It's okay to try to figure out, why am I feeling this way? And because I'm feeling this way, what can I do to handle this emotion in a way that's productive and progressive for, to me, you know, where I won't make a decision that may, you know, hurt me down the line, you know? So that's what
100%.
We remember. Your emotions, yes, they matter. But at the same time, they should not be the sole emphasis, you know, when it comes to making your decisions and how your perspective and so on.
100%. You know, I just want to piggyback. Nice to see you again, Tanji, by the way. I just want to piggyback on that. It was like this week, for me, I was in my feelings this one particular day. And I was on the brink of making a big decision that would have changed everything that I was doing.
Okay.
It would have changed where I'm working. It would have changed how I'm even school. So I called my mom at that time. When I called her, she was able to walk me through everything that's happening and the pros and cons of which decision. So, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to see that, okay, I'm in my head right now. I'm in my emotions. Sometimes you may need to call a friend, call a family member, call a loved one, and just ask them like, hey, okay, am I tripping or is the world like trying to get me right now?
Yeah.
So I would really advise like asking for help during that time when you're trying to make a difficult decision and you're fumed with emotions. Either you're angry, you're consumed by too much joy or whatever, you know, that will swing a lot of your decisions if you're not steadfast in using your logical brain.
That's true. And I'm thinking about what you just said of asking for help, but that also made me think of asking for help. So that means we should also be careful, and we should also always remember how important it is and vital it is to have people around us who feed us good food.
Absolutely.
Who are solid and of substance and have the foundation. So we know that we can go to them because they also are in a good place. That doesn't mean that they always get it right. That doesn't mean that they're always perfect or whatever else. But we know down, you know, when it comes down to the soul of man, the core of who they are in that place to provide us with insight, provide us with things that are valuable that will help to feed us to make good decisions. So have quality, good people around you.
That's absolutely.
100%.
I hate 100%. I missed everything that you guys were saying because I know you were spot on. When I did get back in, I heard everything you were saying and you were, man, it was as if I was talking. I swear to you. I'm listening. I'm like, man, come on. We make decisions based on, unfortunately, sometimes it's based on feeling. And you hit it on the head when you said you can't do that because you'll make that decision one time. And those consequences will sometimes last a lifetime.
Yes.
So be 100%. Mindful of that. You know, the soul really is the powerhouse of a being. It is the thinking house of a being, and it is actually it determines how you're going to perceive and receive your senses.
For sure.
If you're listening to it, you'll speak it, and you have to be careful what you're listening to repetitively and speaking, because you really can speak death into a situation.
That's true.
100%. You know, those words are one thing we can't get back, you know, words and time. So if we're not in control of our emotions and we're running amok in what we're saying in our mouths, that will end up, that'll cause us to bite us, that'll cause us to hurt us in the end, you know? So we have to be mindful about that. you know, and it goes to show, like, also be mindful of, like, what Niall said, the people who you have around you, what are they feeding inside of you? That is super important. That's what some people don't really understand, you know?
Go ahead. Also, what's inside of them. You can't give someone what you don't have.
Absolutely.
I just had an idea in my head regarding what you just said. But never mind. Let's keep it.
Watch. When it comes back, just who's ever talking, just interrupt.
But it just, my mind right just now. But it's important about, you know, those decisions and so on. Oh, this is part of it. So I've seen firsthand people who operate based off of their emotions. But I also, I've seen the situations that they constantly are in. And I'm like, man, the chaos, you know, and so on. So it made me think of one of my favorite quotes by James Baldwin. And I don't want you to think of this in a cynical way, but it speaks to how our decisions impact the outcome. People pay for what they do, and they pay for it very simply by the lives that they lead.
Amen.
So that should just always tell you, be mindful of what you're putting out. Be mindful of what's going on internally, because it will affect the external, you know? And sometimes that one decision can change the direction of our lives. Absolutely. And that's what I'm going to say. I felt like that quote is...
Drop the mic.
Yeah. I know, right? It sums up everything. And if you are listening and or viewing us here, please feel free to give us a call. Our number that you can reach us is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And if you don't want to call, say that you're busy, drop a line. Yeah, seriously, shoot us a line at what, Niall's, what is your handle? And this is, I'm really serious about this. When you do that, because there, I say this all the time, there may be an audience, right, that will listen intuitively to what you're saying, you guys, and they're like, well, you know, I hear what she's saying, but maybe she doesn't know X, Y, Z. So would you share your information so that they can reach you on your social media handles, because we all speak the same language, right? So, sure. Yeah.
The soul language, coming from the soul.
Yeah, soul. The soul language. Soul. So Niall's your your Instagram or Facebook handle is?
Yes, Instagram. When I get back on Instagram, because I'm taking a hiatus right now, because I need to just regroup and smell the earth and be present in my current environment. But you can reach me at sir.niles. And you can also see it on the screen right here, sir.niles. And that's on Instagram. What about you, KJ?
KJPowell99. That's on every platform, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. That's me.
Yes.
There you have it, man. Hey, I was up and ready at 7:30 on Facebook and Instagram on Talk to Tanji. Where were you guys? Were you there?
I'm close.
You know, we were all present.
Yeah. I love Niall.
I was there in the spirit. Right? I was there in the spirit. There it is.
And that's all that matters, man. That's all that matters. But it's an interactive way that we start our Mondays on Facebook Live, just to say hello, make sure you're good, check in, as Niall would say, tapping in, making sure that you're good and you're ready for the week. You can join me, your girl, Dr. Tanji, on Facebook Live. That's Monday, 7:30. Not the ish anymore. I'm doing better because I'm taking my cues from these guys. I'm learning. How about that? You know, when someone can go into the art world and just turn the art world upside down, when someone can go to a very prestigious college and say, you need me. Who does that other than our next guest, along with some of the persons that are in this beautiful play? And KJ is literally going to give us the name of the play, because he has some billing in that. But we're going to bring on part of the group that I'm so excited from Pepperdine University. KJ, take it away.
Hey, hey, hey. Today we have Bella, Yayabel, Raquel, and Nick Few, who you all know from Pepperdine University. They have next week they're opening their fall play called We're Proud to Present. Can y'all finish the rest? Because that title is so long. I'm sorry. You're not going to catch me slipping right now. I'm sorry.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
It's called We Are Proud to Present.
We are proud to present a presentation about the Herero of Namibia, formerly known as Southwest Africa.
I'm the German. Soon West Africa, between
the years
1884
and 1915.
Okay, my first question is, I have a question about that. Who was reading on their screen the title? I just want to know that because it looked like y'all were looking at the screen when y'all were saying that. Huh?
I was trying to watch it on the mouth.
Oh, yes, I am.
The same pattern. Yeah.
Okay, I might have been reading. I might have been reading from the super.
The whole play went blown.
I am so excited to have these beautiful spirits in the on the show. And what you guys are doing is just really you're really operating in your gifts. You really are honing in on your craft, and you're bringing us along on the journey, and it's exciting. So let's get started. Characters, who are they? Bella, I'll start with you. What do you do in this play? Who are you in this play?
Yes, so I am actor four. We don't have names, essentially, because the playwright wanted it to be that it could work at any setting, if it was in college or if it was at a production company or a theater company, it could work anywhere. So I'm actor four, also known as another Black person. So I'm...
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So I feel like the best way to describe my character is... They try to be the politically correct one, even though they're very out there. Because, like, I'm not... the character is non-binary, so they're very... They're trying to find their place in the world, but also... be mindful of other people's opinions, essentially. And especially in this play, I play the mediator in some situations. I'm always trying to cater to every side, essentially, to make sure that there's like peace in the company.
Okay, well done. Thank you very much. You good man. What's your name? The Bert, is it Killingsworth?
Brightkill, Killingsworth.
Brightkill, forgive my manners, please. Yeah. Who are you? And you probably don't have a name, right? But your character and what you're bringing to the table on this with this character.
All right, actor two, other also known as Black Man. I think I am. I see myself as a representative for all Black men, all Black people, but more specifically, all Black men in this play. I'm like an advocate. My character, I know who I am. I know what I want. Like, I stand in that. I know how to get to what I want. So there's a lot of, I guess from the outside eye looking in, I can be seen as like a menace to the overall company and like what we're all trying to do. You know, I come in with my own idea of like what I want with the project. But, but what I like about the play is like that we don't have any names, because even though we don't have an identity, we all still have to like understand that we all still have personality. So like to see these six different personalities come into the room and like bring in what we all have, like the clash is like, it's just natural. Like that's one thing I like about not having a name in the play.
I absolutely love this. Oh, dear God. Nick!
Hey!
How did you do this, man? How did you get this? I mean, listen, how did you get here?
I think any director worth a grain of salt lets the community inform them of what the community needs to see. Mm. Not just what they want to see, but what they need to see. And I'm always... trying to stay on the pulse because I believe that theater is entertaining. I believe it's educational. I believe it's enlightening. It's also a mirror to society. So we can say, hey, this is us. Do we like what we see? or do we want to change it? And the community is talking about critical race theory. The community is talking about history, who gets to tell it, from what perspective, and do people that have been terrorized by the ones that have control, do they have a voice? You know, even if our history isn't written down or can be you know, proven by scientific data, right? We know we existed. So how do we tell that story? So, you know, at a time at a university like Pepperdine, where those thoughts of like, should critical race theory be taught? Should slavery be discussed? Should terrorism, I should say rather than slavery, but terrorism be discussed? The community said, hey, we need to deal with this. And I said, okay, I'll help you deal with it. I got the perfect show.
You remind me of a modern day Moses, man. I know you probably heard that, right? Moses in the spirit. You are. I mean, it's just a phenomenon that you would bring something like this in a college setting like Pepperdine, and there, everybody is saying, okay, tell this story, and yes, has given you the, you know, that green light to do that. Man, that speaks volumes of what you are here for. It's as if you don't really care what anybody says. And I say it in a very nice, respectful way, but you are literally changing the lives of people and their mindset. That's massive.
I'm so glad you said that, because I believe with my whole heart that this is my ministry. Mm-hmm. So I can stand boldly behind what God puts on my heart, right? And again, what's on the community's heart. These conversations are happening whether we want to deal with it or not. It's happening outside the classroom. It's happening in our homes. But most importantly, it's happening on this campus and in the world, basically. You know, with our last president, you know, this was the critical race was a buzzword. Like it was out a lot. So to bring a show that, you know, introduces history and genocide, and you think we're talking about the Namibians, but all of a sudden we see ourselves, we see America in it. You know, what better way to start that conversation?
Thanks to
a Black woman, Jackie Sibley's Drury. I love Black women. Thank you, Black women. She's an amazing writer. She's an amazing writer. And these guys, I'm so happy that KJ got Yaya Bell and Brykel, because these two particularly, I've seen them grow so much. And I want to say this publicly, Brykel, and publicly, Yaya. Yaya and Yaya, you know, when she first came to this university, you know, people sort of, she was the quiet one. Mm-hmm. So people, you know, kind of looked over her and played her kind of to the side. She would come to my office with her classwork. She would come with auditions, and we would sit in my office and just play. To watch her grow and to an artist like she is now, and make choices, and those choices be strong and solid.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get emotional. It is.
It's okay. You're on the show. It's all right. We do that here.
I'm in the right thing. I'm in the right place. And the same with Brykel. I've watched Brykel work so hard for his place here. It is not easy for African-American students in this university, in this system. And I understand my role here. I know that I'm an oasis for a lot of them, where you don't necessarily see yourselves a lot. So to watch him stand in his artistry, in his manhood, in his choices, it's just beautiful. So I'm full right now, and also to be my right hand, to be my assistant director, or our assistant director, KJ.
I know.
I mean, it's just I'm surrounded by greatness.
You really are. I feel the same way. I really, really do. I won't go into the affinity that I have for these two, but I do know that you really are surrounded by greatness, and yes, they take it very, very serious, okay? Yes, they do. They do. So let me ask you this, and then I'll be quiet because I know my guys want to ask questions, and I hate hogging up, but, you know, I love you, man. I do. I'm trying to glean from you. Why? I know you said, thank you. I know you said the community is ready, but in a situation or an environment that ordinarily would cause you to walk on eggshells if you wanted to present something like this. Wow. No, seriously, how do you even muster up, and then you muster up that kind of courage, right? And then the people that are saying, hey, I want to be a part of it. How do you, you know, tell them that you're going to be good? I got you. You're safe.
I'm free. I am a free Black man, and there's nothing like it. And I want for KJ, I want for Brykel, and I want for Yaya to experience that. And if it's under my watch, thank God I'm there to be the catalyst for it. Freedom, there's, you know, rarely in life do you have the opportunity to just, you know, Nina Simone talked about it. She said every now and again, she said, when I'm performing, there's a freedom that you can't even put into words.
Come on.
The way it feels. And there's a boldness. There's a authenticity that comes with that, that as a performer, you have to have to do it well. I'm an acting teacher. I am an actor myself. This is my ministry. And I want to impart this freedom into these young hearts. You know, so I'm not afraid to be the catalyst because God got me. I haven't wanted for anything since I made God a promise that I would always be sure to give him God, no gender, but God. I've always promised to give God the credit and because that's where it comes from. I'm just a vessel. So I stand on that, and I stand on that fearlessly. And I want my students and I want my colleagues to feel that and to walk in that. I don't want no more. It's time out for us Africans in America and Africans to leave this earth and not experience and be free.
Amen.
And we have that. So we can turn that. It's up to us. So if I stand on my authentic self and I'm righteous in that, what do I have to fear?
Wow.
Yeah.
KJ said something about a mic drop. I feel like if I had the mic, nope. I'd pop.
right there. You can drop it.
Listen, there's a symbol from Ghana. It's called an Adinkra symbol. It's G-Y-N Janami. And it's here on my, I don't know if you can see it. I have it on my arm. It's a tattoo. Let me see if I can pull my shirt up. It's so tight. I don't know if you can. Right here. Can you see it? Can you see it?
Yeah. I see that.
This means God is in everything. So what do I have to fear? It's the omnipresence of God, right? That's what I walk in. That's how I teach. Listen, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I'm okay with that.
I was about to say, man, I can only imagine.
I'm okay with it.
Wow. Man. Wow.
So how do you guys and how have you guys prepared for this? The content, the substance, how heavy this material is, stepping into these characters and stepping into this world and telling this story and in a way that's impactful. How are you preparing for that? Nick, whoever
first. Yeah. Well, before you guys answer that, can we dive into like the type of content that the audience is going to see? Because I know it's heavy, you know.
Don't tell the end.
I'm not telling the end, you know, but like they have to know, like, it's not your average play that you will experience some things that may happen during the show. And it's a heavy topic as well. So I just want to put that out there before you guys answer that question.
You guys want to answer that or you want me to start? You kind of quiet. You want me to talk? Okay, I'll talk.
Go ahead, Kel.
I'll come here right after you. Go ahead.
So, you know, this is history. It's just history being taught like we've never taught it before from our perspective. This is a Black woman telling this story, right? Mm-hmm. So we're used to a way of seeing and hearing history that protects our other brothers, right? Our brothers of another color, our history oftentimes protects them in a way so that there's a little responsibility is sort of like not taken, or there's a fear behind it. This is from a Black woman's perspective. So I don't think it's any more or less risque than anything else. It's just we're not used to hearing it from our mouths. Mm-hmm. This is history. There's nothing that we're saying in this play that has not happened. Hmm. She didn't make any of this up. These are real conversations. These are real events. These are a real people that this happened to, that this genocide happened to. Mm-hmm. And we are Black people living in a really, a country that's really trying hard to come to grips with what to do with us now that we're becoming more free. So you understand what I'm saying? It's not taboo to me. It's just hearing it from us. And it's like when I tell, you know, this is a weird reference, but like when I tell my people that ask my puppy's name, and I say Nala, they go Nyla, Nola, Nula. I said no, it's Nala, like the African pronunciation, Nala. It's an easy pronunciation, but because we don't hear our names from our motherland much, it's foreign.
Yeah.
The same goes with this story. They've done stories here where there have been killings. They've done stories here where there have been basic like brutality and torment. But it hasn't been from our perspective yet. We're now having the opportunity to share.
For sure.
How we feel.
For sure.
Jump in, Brakel. Jump in,
How'd you know I was about to ask him something on that too? Because he said something that was really, really profound. He says, I am representing all Black men. Is that not what said, Brakel? Help me. I don't want to butcher this. But that was really weighty. That's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders for, you know, bringing that into this play. Can you speak on that?
Of course. I mean, the cool thing about that is, like, no one else, I don't think what Jackie wrote or, like, any of the other cast members, like, see me as a representative, but just, like, how I view myself is just, like, the strongest thing about that. There's a lot of weight on it in the character's perspective, but for Brakel into it, I don't have any worry about it. I don't know if I should feel any worry about it, telling this story, like, what people might think. I mean, because it's life. I mean, I have my own experiences back home. I mean, I watched my dad. I mean, my character... I got my character from my own experiences, from my dad's experiences, like stuff I see in my family. Like these are all stories that are told here in America. Okay. And the cool thing about this play is a story that takes place mostly in Africa, but we can see the reflection of how things happen in Africa and how it also happened in America. It's just like history kind of repeats itself, but like doesn't matter where and how, just like life just continues to happen, like the different ways that this happens, but it's all still the same story over and over again. Hmm. Oh, I almost said the line from the show. I mean, because, but it's so true. I mean,
go ahead. Yeah, she can share a line. Go ahead.
I mean, I tell, you know, another white man, because he gives his own testimony, I guess you could say, he's justifying, you know, the white perspective, the white guilt that they feel for what happens to us Black people. But just like the way that they tell the story, it's just, we hear the white version of the story over and over again in history classes. I didn't know anything about the Namibia, like the Herero. It's just like, you know, what we hear in history classes, I feel like my education in history isn't complete. I feel like I don't know everything because what we're taught in school is just kind of, but it like kind of sugared up, yeah, you know, sweetened.
For sure. For sure.
But
for sure.
Wow. Which lets people off the hook. And we don't, nobody's off the hook. Nobody in this play is without flaw either. Black man has flaws just like white man. We're human beings. Nobody's perfect. Absolutely. But God. So everybody has their flaws, which makes good theater, right?
Right.
I just don't think we've heard from this perspective yet, which may feel raw to somebody watching because it's new.
Mm-hmm.
It's new. And I'm so happy to be here to bring it.
You know, I have to ask this question though, and help me, you know, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. You know, charge it, my mom says, charge it to my head and not my heart. How do you not, knowing everything that you know about history, our history, some of the things that you've had to deal with as characters, Bella, Brykel, even JJ, as you know, you're bringing a lot. You're bringing a lot in as an assistant director. How do you not be portrayed as the angry black person? That's that. Again, forgive me for asking, but we've got a lot of things to unpack here.
Let me answer that. I'm seeing it from the director's perspective, and I can say that you don't see that. The angry black person. You see real people, real authentic people. So the stereotypes that we hear in the news and media, they do not exist. We only see the true foundation of who these people are. You know, Bella plays a black person. You know, Brykel plays a black man. That doesn't mean that if someone else took on the role, there would have been another version of that black man, you know, and same thing with Bella. So there is not a cookie cutter image that people will see like, oh, I've seen that before. No, you haven't. You have not. Because everybody who even the white actors in the play have their own unique presence when they step onto the stage.
And what's considered angry is oftentimes passion. Fear. And when these characters are passionate or fearful, we see that, but there's perspective behind it. So we can't just go, oh, they're angry. We see, that's what they were covering. Oh, that's why he waited to this. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's perspective rather than the stereotype or the, you know, me, angry black woman or angry black man is a way for people to not acknowledge the root of a situation.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
She's just angry. No.
Yep.
Right.
And you hear it all the time.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
So I think we show how people get to a point where they are passionate and where they are fearful, and we see the fear. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not, and KJ will tell you, as a director here, I will say, okay, you seem very passionate right here. You're yelling a lot. What are some more tactics that are available? Because for actors, it's really, anger and is really easy to jump on. I'll just scream at you.
Yeah,
for sure.
We have to be cognizant that there are, as human beings, there are different tactics that we use to get through life. And so I'll say, you know, maybe explore another tactic here, because if you do that, that person might just walk away from you or just knock your lights out.
Right.
What if you're trying to not get to that place in this point? And then I'll say, well, then go for it here. Right? So that was a charge, Dr. Tanji, that I gave them, is to explore tactics. Let us in inside as to why you feel like you want to scream or yell or fight right now. Let us see you try to figure out how to handle that situation, right? Mm-hmm. And some beautiful things have come out of it. Like, wow. Some different ways to, I mean, I look forward to rehearsing. I know they're exhausted by the time they leave me.
I was about to say, man, how do you build them back up? And this is just the gist of the play. How do you build them back up mentally, seriously, when they've given you everything or the craft, everything that they could give that day, right? What do you say to that soulless man that has left his soul or her soul in rehearsal?
I think love, they know that I love them beyond this play. I love them beyond this school. And I want to see them do greater works than I have done. It would be to my heart the best to see all of these beautiful faces on the screen just soar. So they know that though I'm passionate, I deal in love. And I think when you deal in love and light, we just fill each other back up. I also try to create a safe space, right? Where we can play.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Chime in. Listen, I'm talking so much. Josh. Y'all got to come on in and say something.
Okay, I'll speak to the love part, because I know that for the cast, because it's like very heavy material, especially at the climax and the resolution, it's definitely very heavy, and it's easy to get stuck in a dark place after the show.
Yes.
So I feel like as castmates, we've been working hard to like hang out 30 minutes to an hour after the show where we're just talking, chilling. Like, we're not even going over the show. We're just like trying to go back to like...
Yep.
Essentially just our everyday selves and just talk about the random stuff, just eat ice cream and just be there
for each other.
And then also if we are in that dark place, we make sure to check in with everyone and have a conversation with them and make sure that they're okay, because it's really easy to not be okay, especially when this is history. This did happen to real people, and it's easy to get bogged down with all that.
But
we try to make sure that that the environment is filled with love, it's safe, and people can come to us when they're not feeling okay.
Wow. See, that speaks volumes, honestly, of who you guys are and what you represent, and having someone with the spirit of leadership that's there as that North Star for you. And that's, I believe, honestly, that's what Nick is doing. He is that person. He says, hey, this is a safe space. You know it is a safe space.
For sure.
Wow.
For
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And
this question is for anyone. What has been a challenging factor for you regarding this whole rehearsal process and kind of jumping into the play? Anyone?
I can go. I was talking to Brykel about this and also some of the other actors, but specifically like Brykel and Chase, who are, essentially the other Black characters. And I was telling them that I'm having trouble opening myself up to it, essentially, because I'm scared that if I open myself up to specifically one moment, I feel like it'll be hard to pull myself back. But then I know Nick said this one, like at one rehearsal, but he said that you really, if you don't open yourself up, you don't do honor to the story. So it's it's hard, but I know that every night I'm trying to work on just essentially just laying myself bare and just taking in everything that's happening.
Wow.
Moment by moment. And she's doing it.
This
woman is living, this person, Yahya Bell's character, is living moment by moment. It is so evident. Watching her is fantastic. I do want to say that I have one of our faculty members who's a really close friend of mine, Angela Smith, a Black woman who is in the psychology department, has also come over and sat with us so that just to make sure.
That's wonderful.
That we, you know what I'm saying, that we're taking care of each other. And so she watched the entire show. And then after the show, she sat with our cast and we just talked in the back hallway about how we're feeling and are we okay? Are you okay? how do we come down off of this show? Because Dr. Tanji and Niles and KJ knows this already, but Dr. Tanji and Niles, we go, I mean, the play is categorized as a comedy. We start off laughing, having a good time.
Wow. Life,
you know, life happens. And so it is a huge emotional ride for them and for the audience, right? So there is a sense of, you know, how do I, because, you know, honestly, the body doesn't know the difference. Trauma is trauma. So the body is still trying to find ways to, am I still on?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. The body is trying to find ways. Bye bye, yaya. Love you. The body is trying to find ways to deal with it. You know, if you're experiencing something authentically on stage, my heart and my muscles don't know the difference between reality and fake. My brain does, but the body really doesn't. So there is a coming down off of that that I think all actors should do regardless of show. Okay. If not, theater will age you beyond years.
I believe that. Honestly, I do. You know, this play is being housed, if I'm not mistaken, it's actually being seen in Pasadena. Is that right?
In Malibu.
No. Malibu. Oh, forgive me. I'm sorry.
In the boo, Dr. Tanji. In the boo.
Oh, forgive me. In the boo. Wow. Now, that makes this question that I'm about to ask even more. you know how it is when there are things and conversations that you just don't want to have. You know, it's like those conversations that you have with your family kind of behind closed doors and nobody can hear what you are thinking or what you're feeling or experiencing. With so much on the line with your actors, you directing, and this the subject matter, are you okay with any, I won't say reservations that people would have, but are you okay with some of the feelings of, oh my God, is, you know, why are they saying this at this time when we should be healing and not bringing this up? I'm playing an advocate here, okay? I'm sorry, I don't do this.
Listen, absolutely, I welcome that because in my opinion, that's what theater is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you laugh. It's supposed to make you cry. It's supposed to make you think about your perspective on things. And it's supposed to ask you, have I been living in a way that I think is righteous compared to what I've seen? How has this play affected me? So I welcome people getting mad. I welcome people having adverse reactions. And you know, there's a line in the play where the character called White Man goes, I'm not comfortable with this. And Black Woman says, I don't want you to be comfortable.
Wow.
I don't want you to be comfortable. And how many times in these spaces are we uncomfortable? So I ask my allies and I ask my advocates, can you sit with me as I am forced to sit with you and be uncomfortable a lot of times?
When you are
just chilling and relaxing and having a great time, I'm sitting here like this, not knowing, am I okay or am I safe?
Wow.
Can you sit with me for an hour and a half and just experience something from my perspective?
Wow.
Are you a real ally if you can't? That's a question you got to ask yourself. So I welcome that. And I also open myself up to conversations afterwards. Like we have a talk back on Wednesday, which I will be there and lead. But I'll be there every night for parking lot conversations. We can talk about it. But I think theater is supposed to, you know, up in here and stir us up a little bit. It's okay. It's okay to feel.
Absolutely, it is.
I was saying this today, Dr. Tanji, thinking about Niles, when you said about taking a break from Instagram and stuff. We can create our own little world where everybody agrees with everything we say. If they don't, we can block, delete, you know. So we're not used to people having differences of opinions.
Right.
I'm of the belief that beautiful theater comes out of chaos and misunderstandings and people hashing it out.
For sure.
That's artistic. That's what it is. I'm so over nice and nice people. I want kind people.
I love it.
You see what I'm saying?
I absolutely love it. And you know, I could talk to you for like another 50 minutes, right? How can we get tickets? When are they going to be, when is the play going to be seen? And as an added bonus for anyone who's engaging with us right now, I'm buying 5 tickets and we're going to give them away to you, whoever wants to be a part of this, because I love this. I'm supporting it. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. So tell us, and then we're going to sign off.
Okay. Tuesday, September 28th through Wednesday, September 29th. It will be at 24-24255 Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. The number is, for tickets, the number is 310-506-4522. You can, tickets are at artsforpepperdine.edu. So it's arts, A-R-T-S, dot pepperdine.edu for tickets. And so we're running from October 2nd through September 29th. September 28th through October 2nd.
All right. Barkle, thank you so very much. You've been a worthy opponent, good man. Bella, thank you, Niles. KJ, I love you so much, Nick. Yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Sam, thank you so very much. You tuned in to the Dr. Tanji Show. Until next time, we do love you so much. You got to go see that play, so we're going to put up how you can win a ticket to go see the play. Talk to you soon now.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
Soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.